Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
How many of you know that God promises us supernatural provision? Praise God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me ask you that again. How many of you know that God promises us supernatural provision? How many of you know that most Christians look to natural sources for their provision? Philippians 4:19 says that my God, spelled G-O-D, my God will supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you'll notice that that word God is not spelled J-O-B. It's not spelled G-O-V-E-R-N-M-E-N-T, government. It's not even spelled church, C-H-U-R-C-H, or pastor. It's not spelled F-A-M-I-L-Y or F-R-I-E-N-D-S. It's spelled G-O-D. My God will supply all your need. Now, how many of you know that you can go to other sources and receive a supply if they're willing, if they're able? And we've all discovered that the supply that comes from natural sources is not limitless. It's not unlimited. It's limited. There comes a time when those sources dry up. When those folks say, nah, I've had enough. Go get a job or something, right? I mean, natural sources are limited. That's why the Word of God says that He supplies all of our need according to His riches and glory. That's a supernatural supply that is available to us. Yet at the same time, if we take our eyes off the supernatural supply and place it on the natural supply, then we have cut ourselves off from the supernatural supply. Do you understand that? We basically close that door. We're not able to receive from the supernatural anymore, because we are no longer looking to the supernatural. We're looking to the natural. Are you in 1 Corinthians 10? Praise God. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now pay attention. This is the Holy Ghost talking to us, saying, listen, I want you to know what you need to know here. I don't want you to be lacking knowledge. I want you to know and understand something. How that all of our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. We're talking about Israel now. How they were delivered from Egypt, led by the cloud and led by the fiery pillar, and they basically passed through the Red Sea, right? When the sea was parted, the waters were divided. And it says in verse 2, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That was a shadow and a type, you understand. Amen? And look what it says, verse 3, and all of them, say all. Say all. All of them did eat the same spiritual meat. Now, sometimes folks will think, well, that was just talking about some spiritual allegorical thing. No, it's not. Psalm 78 tells us, man did eat angels' food. We're talking about the manna, the food that came from heaven itself. Manna did not come from a natural source. There is no place on earth where you can go get manna. It's not available. It is angels' food. It's what the angels eat, Psalm 78 tells us. Manna. And yet for 40 years, that spiritual food appeared in the physical realm and fed Israel in the desert where there is no food for 40 years. And it never failed, not even once. Praise God. All did eat the same spiritual meat. Verse 4. And it says, all did drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Now I want you to notice something here. Remember where the Word of God tells us that Moses struck the rock. There was no water. And he struck the rock. And the rock gushed forth water. You think there was this unlimited river that was in that rock? I don't think so. No. And then the second time, he had to speak to it, remember, and call it forth. But it says that water came from a spiritual source. It was not a natural source on earth that it came from. It manifested on earth. But it came from the Spirit. It manifested into the physical realm by the actions and the obedience of those who followed God's word, and they received the blessing, the manifestation of what was promised in the natural realm. And notice this, too, it says, they all did drink from that spiritual rock that followed them. How many of you know that rock followed them? And that rock, it says, was what? Christ. The Word of God. The living and abiding Word of God. Amen. Praise God. You know that rock is following us today. Better than that, that rock is in us. Didn't Jesus say, he that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise God. We have a spiritual supply, a supernatural supply. We have a supernatural supply. And if we would just get our eyes off the natural sources and put them on Jesus and keep them there. I said, keep them there. See, it's easy to say, I'm trusting Jesus. I'm just trusting God. Isn't that amazing how we do that? I'm just believing God. Now, doesn't Hebrews chapter 10 tell us, do not cast away your confidence because it has great promise of reward. Hold fast to your profession of hope. Don't let it go. Hope, that word hope, that biblical word hope, means confident expectation of good things to come. Hold on to it, right? It's amazing how folks will hold on to it for a little while until the due date gets closer. I said until the due date gets close. But as soon as that due date starts getting close, what happens? Let's take a look at it. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would, real fast. Because you understand that if we want to receive of that same spiritual rock, if we want to receive from that same supernatural place, then we have to do things in accordance with the Word. Would you agree with that? There is a supernatural supply. And God is not limited to what the government has said they will give you. Did you hear me? God is not limited to what your company has said they will pay you. God is not limited to whether or not you can get overtime. God isn't limited to that. God isn't limited to the state of the economy. He's not limited to that. God is unlimited. So what God can do for us is unlimited. Not limited to the natural. If we will get our eyes off the natural and put them on Him. God is unlimited. If we will get our eyes off of the natural and put them on Him and keep them on Him. But we have to keep them on Him. See, folks are willing to put their eyes on Him. But it's another story when it comes to keeping their eyes on Him. Because you understand, this world will distract you. Remember Peter, when he got out of the boat? Lord, just bid me come and I'll come. Yeah, he jumped out of that boat. And he walked on water, didn't he? Yes. But then he took his eyes off Jesus. And he says he saw the wind, that it was boisterous. Well, wasn't that wind blowing when he was in the boat? Yeah, it was. It didn't stop blowing. But he got out of the boat. Now he's standing on the water. Now he has to trust Jesus. Now he's got to. Because he's not in the boat. He has no natural means of floating on that water. Staying out of the deep, in other words. He has no natural means. It's a supernatural thing he's looking for. He's got no choice but to keep his eyes on Christ. What happened when he took his eyes off? He began to sink. What happens when we take our eyes off Jesus? We begin to sink. Are you in Hebrews chapter 10? So here we are believing God for supernatural provision. Now let me just say this to you before I read this scripture to you. If you're not able to operate consistently in faith for provision, just enough to meet your needs, to get the bills paid, how are you going to believe God for supernatural increase? Because you understand there's such a thing as enough, and then there's something called more than enough. Did you know you can't have more than enough until you first have enough? Did you know that? You can't have more than enough until you first have enough. Which means we have to first learn how to operate in the enough. Hello, friends.
This is Reverend Slide Moran, and I hope that you've enjoyed the message so far. We'll return to it in just a moment, but before we do, did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.BibleCities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says Donate by Check or Money Order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience. Now, let's get back to the message. Now, let me just say this to you before I read this scripture to you. If you're not able to operate consistently in faith for provision, just enough to meet your needs, to get the bills paid, how are you going to believe God for supernatural increase? See, so many folks are trying to believe God for that $100,000 check when they can't even believe God consistently for the $500 rent. Hebrews chapter 10, look what it says here. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now notice that it says, let us hold fast the profession of our hope, the confident expectation of the good that will manifest in our life, the supply that will be provided, it will manifest. Let's do that without wavering. Here's what most folks do. Rent's due on the first. I'm believing God. And they're doing really good. But now it's the 25th, and they start to shake a little bit because I don't see it. And there's only 5 days left. And then they start thinking about, now, where is it going to come from? See, they're starting to waver now. Then the 26th happens, and now they're thinking about people whom they might be able to go to. And now it's the 27th. Rent is due in 3 days, and the shaking gets a little bit more. And now it's the 28th. And they're still trying to trust God, but it's tough because now they're wavering. Because you understand it's the 28th. Well, what does the 28th have to do with it? What does the calendar have to do with God? God doesn't operate by calendar, just so you know. We're the ones that invented the calendar. We're the ones that have used the calendar and said, God, you have to do it by this time. And if you don't do it by this time, well, then I guess you're not able to. People get that way, you understand. That's called limiting God. That's called telling God what to do and how to do it and when to do it. You know, it's supposed to be the other way around. So now it's the 29th. Now it's the 30th. That's when the telephone calls start being made. Come on, I know every one of you have done that because I did. Now we need to get something done because it's obvious that tomorrow the rent is going to be due. And if I don't get the money by tonight, I'm out of here. And you understand the if. Big word if is in there, in the thought. Well, you know, if is not certainty. If is an uncertain word. There is no if in faith. Faith is. Word of God says now faith is. There is no if. So the Word of God tells us that let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering. Until when? Till we see it. If we want to see it, we better hold on. And we better not be looking at the clock or looking at the calendar. Because as soon as we take our face and we turn our eyes to the clock or look to the calendar, our eyes are not on God. Are you learning something? I'm trying to show you how to walk in the supernatural provision of God. Let me say it again. As soon as we start looking at the calendar or looking at the clock, we're not looking at God. And when we take our eyes off God, we begin to sink like Peter. You can forget it. That thing is not going to manifest because that thing is manifested by faith. And we have to go from start to finish.
to see the end of our faith. We have to finish it if we're going to see it. I'm telling you this not only because the Word teaches it, but because we have practiced it and discovered that it works every time. The trouble is how difficult it can be on the natural mind to get from the first to the 31st without wavering. Because somewhere in there's going to be opportunities to waver. Somewhere in there's thoughts that are going to come up. Call so-and-so, they'll give it to you. Call so-and-so, they'll lend it to you. Go to your boss, maybe he'll give you an advance. There's going to be all kinds of opportunities to waver. But the Word of God tells us that my God will. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory, and He'll do it by Christ Jesus. That's the Word of God. In other words, we do it in accordance with the Word. When we do it the way the Word says to do it, and we follow through, it'll appear every time. We've proven it. I mean, we have seen such supernatural manifestation of finances. I could tell you story after story, instance after instance, that'll look like nothing was going to happen, but it did every time. Amen. I've told you the story before of George Mueller, who basically founded the orphans' children's homes in Great Britain. He never once, not one time, did he ever ask anybody or solicit a donation. Not once. Not one time. And there was a whole string of homes that were built by him by faith that provided for those kids. There was never a lack. There were times when there was no food on the premises. They had no food and no money to buy food. And this happened more than once. By faith, they'd go ahead and set the table. Get everybody sitting at the table. There's no food now. Well, we don't want to disappoint the kids. We don't want to give them false hope. It's not false hope when you believe in God. We want to give them hope. We want to teach them how to act in faith. And so he'd set them down. And they'd give thanks. And every time, before they were done, there would be a knock at the door, and there would be food there. Every time there would be food, supernaturally, food would come. Food would be there. And very often it would be hot, steaming food left at the door, more than enough for them to eat. This is a true story now, documented stuff. Because they went from start to finish, not keeping their eyes on anything, looking for the supernatural provision of God. God is well able, well able. How many of you know God's got hot food in heaven? And He's got more than enough. There is no lack. If you're willing to trust God, the Word of God says that His eyes roam to and fro across the earth, looking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards Him, who are going to believe Him. Amen? Isn't that good news? Can you give in faith, believing God for your supernatural provision? Can you believe that? Well, then take your offering, praise God, hold it in your hand. You know, the Word of God talks to us and teaches us about speaking over our offerings, doesn't it? How if we will say a thing and believe that what we say will come to pass, we'll have what we say. You should speak over your offering. You should. Because how's it going to come to pass if you don't say anything? I mean, you want to believe the promise, but you know, you got to say the promise, amen? Amen? Praise God. Take your offering. Just hold it up to the Lord. And just say this from your heart now. Don't just repeat it, but say it from your heart. Say, Father, I believe your word. You are my supply, and I need no other. You are well able to take care of me, to feed me, to clothe me, to house me, to bless me, and to see to it that I have more than enough so I can bless others. So I thank you for my seed that you gave me. I sow it in faith and expect to see the manifestation of your promise to multiply this seed back to me and increase my harvest. So I receive by faith the harvest, thankfully, in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, you can say amen.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.